In a world that is becoming more digitally connected by the day, being connected to the truth of God's Word has never been more important. This is why my church exists, to meet people right where they are with the power and freedom that only comes through the Word of God. We are a fully virtual church with multiple ministries designed to make the truth of the Bible accessible to anyone. Whether it's through our website, YouTube channel, or the My Church channel. Our faith-based streaming network, available on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and LG TV. Our hope is to connect and grow with you. Check us out and come be a part of the My Church family today.
Good evening, ladies. I'm Pastor Steph, and welcome to Women of Worth. And if this is your first time joining us, you are in the right place, because as Women of Worth, our mission is to teach, encourage, and empower one another to be the virtuous women that God has called us to be by providing a genuine environment of transparency and support where you can learn and grow. And we hope that your life will be enriched by this program, because our goal at My Church Virtual Ministries is to offer an array of faith-based programming that ministers to the entire body of Christ, such as the Leadership Academy, the Man Cave, Women of Worth, Marriage Seer Training, Medicine for the Mind, the Heart of the Pastor, Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton, The Enjoyable Life with Pastors Russell and Vita Cash. And you can also find the My Church channel on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, Google TV, LG TV, or simply download the My Church app on the go on your favorite mobile device from the Apple or Google Play App Store. So, I encourage you to share this broadcast with everyone you know. Now, with all of that being said, amidst my tongue tying, we will go ahead and open up our session with prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We thank you, Lord God, for the day. Lord God, we thank you, Father God, that even if there were some things that happened today that may not have been what we had expected or what we have enjoyed or not enjoyed, Lord God, we know that you have a purpose for everything in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that as I teach tonight, I not only minister to the women that are listening, but I also minister to myself, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that you just have your way. Holy Spirit, come in. We know that you're with us, and I thank you that you're moving me out aside, Holy Spirit. You show forth in me. And we thank you, Lord, for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right. So many of you know, if you don't know, now you know, I have been a licensed clinical social worker. That was the last part of my career. I've been a social worker for over 29 years or so, maybe 30. No, longer than that. I can't even do the math, but all I know, it was a long time. However, the last 13 years of my career, I had the honor of treating veterans at the VA. And I worked with veterans that had PTSD and, you know, all type of other medical issues such as anxiety, depression. I did family counseling, couples counseling, you name it, I did it. So, you know, throughout my career, I have taught this topic so many different times to, like, in groups and in sessions behind closed doors. I've even taught it before on Women of Worth. So I think I'm going to reteach it again, because we know now it is the second month of 2026. So I'm sure that some of you all have been faced with certain things that either it's a repeat that gets on your nerves, it's a new thing that gets on your nerves, it's an additional five people that get on your nerves, And the whole time you're trying to regulate how you feel. Now, some people can regulate it perfectly, almost like you're pressing your foot on the gas and pulling it back and pulling up slowly with the brake, right? But then you got some people who drive like it is the Indy 500 and take curves on two wheels, speeding at huge speeds, jumping over bridge. Anyway, you know, so everybody deals with emotions differently. And the reality, y'all, is that we as human beings, we have emotions. And a lot of times I kind of get tired of hearing how, you know, women are emotional creatures. I mean, you know, men can be emotional too. Trust me, I service a plenty of men in my career, and they are just as emotional as women can be. However, they may respond and share it differently than we do. But emotions are natural. We can't get away from it. I mean, you know, God displayed emotion. He was pleased. He became angry. He showed fury. He showed love, compassion, protection. I mean, I can keep going. So, you know, just as he has created us, we can have an impact on the world through regulating our own emotions. Now, some of you might say, oh my God, Pastor Stephanie, this is a challenge for me. Because just 2 hours ago, I just got off the phone with Walgreens. They have messed up my prescription yet again. So I am ticked and I want my medicine. And if I go without it, we're going to have problems. So that happened 2 hours ago, right? But you're sitting now in front of me and it's still seething in your mind. It's still causing you to be volatile, you know, almost like you're ready to spark at any minute. You know, the Holy Spirit showed me an illustration just how some emotions can be, right? So I don't drink sodas anymore. I do love sparkling waters, though, that are flavored. And, you know, I don't have to have the creme de la crop. I mean, I could go for the, you know, Food Lion or the Walgreen brand. It doesn't matter to me. The nice brand. That's it. That's it. So, you know, you got your carbonated water. And my favorite flavor is white grape. Man, I love me some white grape or peach. Okay. So here's this wonderful, wonderful bottle, just filled up to the brim with some good tasting stuff. You look at it and it goes, I'm gonna drink this. It's nice and cold, on and on. Boy, I'm making myself thirsty, but it's nice and cold. And sure enough, unexpectedly, the bottle can slip out of your hand and fall on the floor. Yeah. That condensation around that bottle, yeah, it makes you know, I'm going to have a cold drink, but it can be slippery. So the bottle hits the floor. The next thing you know, everything inside that bottle becomes agitated. It gets irritated. It gets impatient. It can even become becomes so explosive that it's holding everything in. Now, women, we are known to be stoic, and there are times, yes, we hold stuff in. So the Holy Spirit showed me when the bottle hits the floor and everything is blowing up inside, you can choose to either let the cap loose just a little bit so it makes that, and you can see the bubbles coming up. If they're coming up too far, you know, you calm it down, or you see, it's just right. I can open it up and have no problem. But then you could have people who act impulsively and all that stuff inside that bottle, again, it's activated. It's ready to respond and react any way it desires to. So you sit there, you get it, pick it up off the floor, maybe say a few little words that you ain't supposed to be saying because you dropped your favorite drink. You pick it up and immediately you take the cap off. And what happens? Everything on the inside spills over. Now you got a mess. got stuff all on your counter. You got your clothes that are wet. Come on now. Then you have people that might be coming in the kitchen and you go, wait a minute, don't come in here. I spilled some drink. Because you're already irritated. See what I'm coming from? So as a result, you got a mess in front of you. You don't know what to do with it. You know, you either keep it stuffed in or you take it out on somebody else who's just trying to come to the kitchen to get a snack. So after the bottle is not quite empty, but guess what? Over time, it has no choice. The bubbles, the concentrated bubbles that are on the inside, they have no choice but to calm down. Now, you have to wait sometimes until it comes down to where you can pour it. Now, if you go too quickly and there's still some bubbles up at the top and you decide, well, I'm just going to pour my drink. I got things to do. And then guess what? It spills over again. Why? Because you acted impatiently. Instead of sitting with that bottle, thank you, Holy Spirit, sitting with the bottle, watching the bottle, being mindful of what's inside of the bottle until it's ready to be poured. And then once you pour it, you realize, hey, I didn't lose much out of that bottle. Man, I got me some crushed ice. I'm going to pour my drink and I'm going to sit back and enjoy myself. You can change the way you perceive things, or you can go, Lord, that went half my bottle. And I got to put it in this ice that's already melted. And Kaya better not ask me for none because that's my drink. See what I'm saying? So which one is better? Definitely the way I responded by using my daughter's name, that's not a good way. And when you already bunched up, many times when you say things and express things, it's just like taking the cap off the bottle after it's being shaken and not giving it time to rest. Okay. So my goal today is to help you work on some emotional regulation, you know, especially being a Christian woman. You know, of course, being a Christian, you know, you are supposed to act and remind yourself that you're representing the kingdom of God. Now, we know there's also an enemy out there who is the king of the darkness, right? And he has, all kind of imps. my daughters love it when I say imps, but all kind of imps just waiting with little signs like anger, irritability, annoyance, depression, despair. And these imps are waiting for the proper moment to come in and get those little signs and basically have a pitchfork. And they're carrying these signs around just to annoy you, just to cause you to step off the course and the path that you were predestined for, the one that God gave you to go for it. But we allow the enemy to come in and take those little signs these imps made and make it a complete narrative of our lives. You know, I hear it all the time. I've always been like that. Yeah, I'm quick to get angry. Psh, please. I got Indian in my family. So, you know, I got Irish in my family. Whatever. If I don't want to be bothered and I'm really depressed, I don't want to talk to nobody. And then you're in the house for a week or more and you haven't even showered. Been there. Been so depressed. Well, I'm like, do I really have to get in a shower? Plus I had physical limitations that made it hard. And I could sat there and dwelled in that, but I probably would have ran everybody up out of this house from not smelling pleasant. Okay. So you got to be mindful of how you allow the things that the enemy tries to bring into your lives, Because, you know, we're quick to blame the enemy for everything. But guess what, y'all? We have to take some accountability and responsibility as well. One of my favorite shows, y'all know, is my new favorite show, The Chosen. Man, every one of those disciples had personality quirks. You feel me? From jealousy to being argumentative, for being timid, shy, all of that. And the whole time Jesus was chilled, even though there was moments he had to express himself in a way that he could reach other people. But see, Jesus knew the timing. He knew the timing. He was prepared because he listened to what his heavenly Father said. Now, I'm not saying that we're always prepared because we never know what happens, but we do have the same tools that Jesus had from his dad. And the tools are in the Bible to help you learn how to navigate through life, how to get that compass together, how to begin to start regulating your emotional state. So one, it honors God, but two, it honors yourself. Now, I'm not saying that's making you selfish. No, you got to regulate what's going on the inside of you before you can even say, okay, I want this to better the people on the outside. Because trust me, if you haven't regulated what you're feeling on the inside, if you haven't regulated going from 0 to 100, if you haven't regulated how cussing and swearing comes out of your mouth, it's going to affect them. It's going to affect others, but it's going to put flaws in your witness. Now, we're not all perfect, but we are working toward the process of being perfect. And trust me, there's a lot of things that are going to come up that's going to test your emotional fortitude. How long can you remain in a state that honors God and honors myself? So, you know, for Christian women, emotional regulation isn't just about, quote unquote, keeping it together. Girl, you better get it together. I don't know what's wrong with you. Or having good manners. Always, oh, hello, welcome to my home. When really, on the inside, you're like, Lord, these people coming to my house again. All right. You know, being able to regulate your emotions, it is a spiritual discipline that transforms how we relate to God, ourselves, and y'all, the people that we love. Because sure enough, the people that I love, the last thing I want to do is hurt them because of my foolishness. Emotional regulation is the bridge between feeling a natural human emotion and responding with Christ-like character. So we feel, we got it. We flesh, we have it all here. Ladies, I'm at the age now, you know, I laugh. I'm 55, but I'm at the age now. If I see a hair in my chin, I'll get the tweezers and try to pull it out. But guess what? If I pinch some of my skin and snatch it, guess what? I just hurt myself. So I hurt my flesh with a pair of tweezers that I inflicted the pain, right? So what do I say? Ow. And I leave that hair alone until I can have broad daylight and see what I'm doing. But that's just an illustration of how, you know, you are actually a feeling person. You have flesh. You have a brain. And our brain, Lord knows, can send all kind of feelings, all kind of things that are quote unquote triggering us to react accordingly. Now, the goal though is to say, all right, I know I have these feelings. I know it. I know there's some months I'm like, yippee. And I know there's some weeks I'm like, oh Lord. I had a lady I worked with. She said, you wake up in the morning and you go, good morning, Lord. Or you wake up in the morning and go, Lord, good morning. Big difference, right? So our goal is to learn how to respond, and by responding in a way that will reflect Christ-like character. Women of worth, you have the character of Christ Jesus. Now, here is how emotional regulations, it impacts your life, you know. Without regulation of our emotions, you basically have opened up the wall. Opened up the city wall for all kind of stuff to come in. You've opened up the trick of the enemy to cause you to go slam off. Simple stuff. When you don't protect your spiritual house, because we all, even though our flesh is a house, we have a spiritual house. And without regulation, our emotions are open, wide open like a city wall. Wow. In verse 28, it says, a man, now I'm going to put a woman, without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. My God. So you think of the size of the city that you live in. Now, if a city's broken into just because of somebody's lack of self-control, it can leave you vulnerable. And when you're left without walls, you know, yeah, you could put up walls, right? We could put up those emotional walls, yes. But when you literally think about how a city looks that's surrounded by a fort, and then somebody comes in and breaks down those walls. But it's not somebody, you're doing it because it says a woman without self-control. Self-control, all right? So the impact of trying to learn how to regulate your emotions, it's easy when you can't do it to build up walls. Now I'm talking about the walls, y'all, that we put up to protect ourselves, the walls that we put up to present a certain way, the walls that we put up where we have given ourselves out so much that we don't have nothing else to give. So in order to keep ourselves comfortable or keep ourselves from dropping dead on the floor, we put up these walls. So when we build up walls, ladies, we can build up some humdingers, like walls that prevent bitterness, envy, unbridled anger, definitely trying to keep it from thrashing or tearing apart your internal peace and your home. Now, in the Tucker household, when people come visit us, they always say, oh my God, it's so relaxing here. It's so peaceful here. And I love to see when we have company come and they're sitting there with us. And next thing I'm looking up and they're fast asleep, but they're so relaxed and so peaceful. Why? Because we really, really work on and trust God that we have an environment of peace. Because if I did not have internal peace, it wouldn't happen. Because trust me, whatever happens to the man affects the wife. Whatever happens to the wife affects the man. Whatever happens to the parental units affects children, right? So, you know, if Pastor and I had a moment of intense fellowship and he thinks we've gotten over it, but I've had my wall of offense that's come up and every little thing he does, I can suck my teeth to the point that my smile, my attitude, my patience, just, you know, everything changes. And guess what? It's going to affect my home environment. Why? My husband knows me well enough. He can see, he knows what's up. Something's wrong. But I allowed myself to put up that wall. So y'all, we have to be careful to monitor ourselves. It's all about monitoring. Monitoring yourself produces accountability. Monitoring yourself and sharing with others things that you missed as a learning experience causes you to have accountability. Excuse me. Not regulating your emotions, it can shift your identity from slave, to Stewart. Man. I work or have seen so many people, women and men, who have wonderful lives. Wonderful. Literally, there's nothing I can identify that's wrong. You know, at least from what I see or what they disclose. But because they're walking around and they're angry all the time, or they're like Eeyore, this constant bah humbug type of spirit, they have just put themselves in bondage to slavery. If you stay angry all the time and anything can tick you off from 0 to 100, yeah, it could be spilling a glass of milk to, man, I left my keys. I can't find them. And then your whole day, you stay angry. You have missed out on hours, moments of pleasure, of peace and joy, because you have put the wrists, these handcuffs, that's what I'm trying to say, handcuffs of slavery as a result of not identifying and shifting things that will cause me to reevaluate my mood. You know, I think about, again, when people say women are emotional creatures, a lot of times when we feel or hear that, many of us may feel defeated or like, well, darn, you know, am I ever going to be better? You know, just because I'm a woman doesn't necessarily mean that I'm always going to have these moods. Well, there are so many women who actually feel slaves. They feel like slaves to their moods. You know, it's whatever you wake up as. If you wake up in the morning, your toe hits the floor and it's cold and you dreading going to work. So you get back under the covers and your whole mood changes. Okay? So it's funny. Holy Spirit, you're funny. But the next step, I literally had typed up and I didn't even look at this. It says, many women feel like slaves to their moods if they wake up off. How many have woken up off? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that can slam, mess up your whole day if you become a slave to it. So your whole day is lost. You feel me? So you gotta be mindful. Hey, I don't want to be a slave to my mood. When I think about depression and I think about anxiety and I think about anger, I mean, I've had them all. I've struggled with them all, you know, and I allowed myself to dwell there. I made myself such a slave and put myself in bondage. Now, I was great at putting up the masquerade of covering it up. I mean, I had to, because the certain things I was involved with, it was like lights, cameras, action. And I couldn't stand there and go, my day just sucked. No, I'm supposed to go, hi, my day has been great. Okay. And when the inside, I'm like, yeah, right. Tell me if y'all haven't done that. If y'all haven't done that, then I'm just like, well, I know I have. So you have to regulate yourself. Yeah, we may try to put ourselves in a box, seal that box up, wrap it up like Houdini did. Put him in a straight jacket. You put your emotions and yourself in a straight jacket. You can't stand the emotions or yourself. Then you decide you're going to put this chain around you, turn you upside down, and throw you in a tube of water so you can try to escape to get out. I don't want to be like that. That's tiring. I mean, my God, just talking about it, it's tiring. And how many people are tired? Huh? Tired. So emotional regulations teaches us that you are responsible. You are the steward of your heart. You are stewarding your heart. You're taking care of it. You're nurturing it. You're filling it back up when it's depleted. You're filling yourself up when you've poured out. And then, whoo, those regulated emotions, you're like, psh, whatever. You all emotional. So you have to steward your heart. You have to begin to acknowledge the feeling. For example, I'm overwhelmed. And many people can feel easily overwhelmed. Sometimes I get so scattered, y'all, I can't keep my thoughts in order. I mean, it's gotten worse since, of course, my MS, but it was like that when I didn't have it or I was working, you know what I'm saying? But now that I'm retired, there's so many different things that I need to do, want to do, wish I can do. And y'all, I can get overwhelmed. I have some OCD traits. I like order. Where my husband, he's different. He knows how to work amongst a organized mess, is what he calls it, you know? But I can sit there and look at something, and it's, if it's out of order, I can begin biting the inside of my jaw. I feel myself becoming tense. I find myself clenching my teeth. I try myself thinking, oh yeah, I could do everything. And the farthest I ever went was wiping off the kitchen counter. But to me, I have gained the perception that I'm just overwhelmed. But then after a while, you have to remind yourself. I had to remind myself, hey, Christ wasn't overwhelmed. My God, even if he did have those moments, which he did, when he prayed to his Father and said, please, Father, remove this cup from me. And he said, yet not my will, your will be done. So he recognized what was ahead of him. He was equipped for that. He was preparing himself for that. Huh? He really started preparing and working toward the final end, the 3 years he was walking with the disciples with ministry. Shoot, he was trying to equip them for what was ahead. But y'all, they were so dense, they didn't get it till later. Why? Because they became slaves to their emotions. So you see, it can impact everything that you do. But the biggest impact is when you're able to steward your heart. Emotional regulation enhances your witness, enhances your relationship. The Bible in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, it talks about and places high value on a gentle, quiet spirit. Now, does that mean that you're walking around like a little church mouse? No. That means you're gentle. So if all hell is breaking out and everybody else is like, what us gonna do? What us gonna do? But you have a gentle and quiet spirit, you can calm that environment. Been there. Again, I work with veterans. And there were some that were so volatile. Oh my God. And people in one side of the clinic that were trying to deal with their primary care needs had ticked them off so bad. You could literally hear them yelling from one side of the clinic to my office. Huh? And guess what? They didn't go to my some of my coworkers to ask for assistance. They came to me. Stephanie, can you help us? Mr. So-and-so is here and he's not hearing anything we're saying and we're about ready to dismiss him from this clinic and tell him not to come back anymore. I'm like, okay, I'll go see them. I'll go to the room and they're going off. They cuss and they're doing this. I said, excuse me, sir. I'm here to help. My name is this, Stephanie. You know, I'm a clinical social worker. Would you please follow me? Well, I'm not, I said, sir, we could talk about it. Well, I'm glad I could talk to somebody. Well, go ahead, talk to me. Now, if I stood there and I was like, oh, Jesus, if they call me one more time and I walk in there and be like, yo, come on, guess what? We're going to have a problem. So folks would bring people to me to help with certain high intensity situations. And I know that I went to college to get all these degrees and licenses, etc. But my gentle and quiet spirit came from God, came from my obedience to the word, came from being a steward over myself. So even if I didn't feel like dealing with someone that was argumentative, I knew that was my responsibility. And I was already prepared in advance to deal with it. So I would ask the Holy Spirit to intercede. And I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Spirit has a way of giving you what you need to say. And I always had words to say to bring the most volatile veteran down to the most calm one. Okay? We didn't even have to kick him out the building. So being gentle and having a quiet spirit, y'all, it doesn't mean that you're a doormat. It doesn't mean that you're a trash can. Just because you're silent doesn't mean that someone can constantly wipe their feet on you. Just because you're silent doesn't mean everybody can dump their stuff on you either. It just means being spiritually composed. It looks good when somebody's composed, huh? If I came in that room and I didn't have the Spirit of Christ in me, Christ wasn't living in me, how composed would I be? How composed would the environment be? Yeah, think on that, right? So ask yourself, man, am I always spiritually composed? And when I am challenged, what do I do to try to get composed again? Or do I just say, whatever? So not being able to manage those type of emotions, not being able to be spiritually composed, it can impact your marriage. It can impact your parenting. Because Lord knows, children can push you. It don't matter what developmental age they are. From the terrible twos, as people say, to the fighting 40s. I mean, come on now. You know, so instead of reacting to certain things or even dealing with the workplace, like the example I gave, you have to learn to become a non-anxious presence. All right, don't cut the show up. Don't cut it off. Don't cut it off. You know, as soon as you heard non-anxious, boop, dismiss. No. One of the primary issues that every person in the U.S. of A. talks about is anxiety. Now, I've had it, right? But it hasn't had me. Because being anxious all the time is causing fear. Fear is not from God. Fear is from the enemy. Faith is from God, right? So the Bible tells us not to be anxious about anything. He tells us to cast our cares onto him. Why? Because he careth for us. He cares for us. He cares for our stuff. We ain't got to worry about it. It's in his hands, right? So when you're dealing with an anxious presence, instead of reacting, you're able to respond. For example, you know, instead of reacting to a child's temper tantrum with her own tantrum, wow, man, there are some adults that are children. Come on. Sometimes the kids act more adult than them. So instead of reacting to a children's tantrum with her own tantrum, she regulates her stress so she can minister to their heart. So your purpose is to regulate yourself, your stress, your emotion, not going into a tantrum with them, but be able to minister that to them, to minister to their heart, to help them understand, you know. For example, Courtney might have done something when she was a kid. And maybe, you know, she was just acting out. And then next thing you know, I'm acting out at her. I'm angry. And I'm sitting there fussing at her. Or it's something that happened that wasn't her fault, but I blamed her. I had to check myself. Now, I have learned how to tell my children I'm sorry. I didn't do it when they were growing up. But now, if there's something that I know I've said that may have offended them, or they may not have understood, or I get sucked into their stress and strain and start helicopter momming, flying around trying to fix everything, didn't work. So I step back and regulate what's going on with me first, so I can then minister to their heart. Because all they want to hear sometimes is mama say, you know, it's going to be okay. Or whenever you're ready to talk about it, I'm here. Okay? Regulating your emotions, it allows for clearer hearing of the Holy Spirit. I felt that. Allows for clearer hearing of the Holy Spirit. So there's things like high emotional noise, like constant panic or simmering resentment. I feel like falling out of my chair about now. Simmering resentment. Oh my God. Y'all might think it doesn't make a lot of noise. Y'all might think the pot boiling over makes more noise, but that simmer can simmer and brew. Yeah. So all of these type of high emotional noises, it acts like almost like static. Or you're in the middle of listening to something good on YouTube, and all of a sudden one of these foolish commercials comes on. And you got to press skip ad. I get tired of that. Skip ad, skip ad. But while that's happening, it can cause me to be all over the place. And it can cause you to be over the place. So, you know, being in a high emotional state all the time, it causes static. It makes it very difficult to discern the still, small voice of God. Yep, whose voice you listening to? Got to learn how to be still. You got to learn how to listen. You have to learn how to tune things out. Huh? So when I do get overwhelmed at the stuff I've got to do, I find myself getting anxious or tense, or I find myself biting my jaw, clenching my teeth. I let static come in. And I can hear the small voice of God. So what do? I put it down. I step away. I listen to some worship music. I speak in my heavenly language from the time I walk away to the time I'm getting myself together to the time I go back to what I have to do. Because then through that time I hear, you know what? It's not really a big deal. It'll be there. That's a project that you'll have to work on together as a family. Remember, you just moved. Okay? Instead of listening to things like what my parents said, you better pick that up, you better straighten that up, you better this, you better that. Because then I began to say, I better this, that, and the other. No. It was causing emotional static. So, one of the things about our nervous system, we have a wonderful thing called a brain. I teach these teachers all the time. We have what's called a hippocampus that's in the center of our brain that stores our long-term memories. I call it a filing cabinet. And we got filing cabinets from the time we were itty-bitty kids to the present, right? Then we have this thing up here in the front of our brain called the frontal cortex. I am so sorry. Prefrontal cortex. Well, it's been a minute since I taught this. But anyway, but that's a rational mind. You know, that's the mind that's trying to teach you how to do things in a logical standpoint, showing, helping you understand what's real and what's not, et cetera, et cetera. So all of that affects your nervous system. Our central nervous system is tied in together, period. Now, by listening to a still small voice, by discerning that voice, by making things quiet, spending time with him, it can calm, all those things in the hippocampus that might be triggering your prefrontal cortex to go off. It brings all those negative thoughts in alignment. And when you practice calming your mind, calming your thoughts, repenting and renewing your frame of thinking, right? And bring it in alignment to God's word. You just brought those thoughts into alignment with truth. And that static, that all those negative statements, all the negative tones and voices, it clears. So then that helps you to hear God's promptings more clearly, because you're not being drowned out by your own internal shouting. Wow, wow, wow. So by hearing God's voice, it will cause you to drown out your own internal shouting. You ever seen that meme where people say it has internally screaming, and they have the person on it looking like, and on the inside, they're like, that's what's happening, you know? And when you have internal screaming, it's going to drown out the voice of the spirit. It's going to drown out your ability to stop, pause, and think on that. The Selah, to think. So it's really easy to allow your internal shouting, y'all, to affect how you think, how you act, and how you respond. And I like to call this spiritual behavioral testing. That's funny, because my framework of therapy I used to do was called cognitive behavioral therapy. Basically, how your thoughts affect your behavior. And we do the therapy to change how you respond and how you react to a situation that happens again. The thought and the behavior and the emotion will be different. So we need to start spiritual behavioral testing, i.e. SBT. And that requires, spiritual behavioral therapy. Sorry about that. And that requires testing, meaning testing which spirit you're dealing with. Am I dealing with my own issues of insecurity? Am I accepting what the enemy's telling me about who I am? Or am I looking over this and making a big deal out of stuff and forget about what God said about me? Spiritual behavioral therapy involves trusting. You got to trust. I told somebody, and I think I even said this one time before, instead of me saying, I tried, I'm trying, I said, I'm going to change that to I'm trusting. It gives you more empowerment. It makes you feel stronger. It removes doubt because you're trusting in God instead of trying to do it on your own. SBT, spiritual behavioral therapy, is transforming. Wow. Everybody needs a transformative moment. I'm going through some transforming stuff right now. Right now. Things that were brought to my attention just yesterday. Okay? And certain thoughts had caused me really to be kind of out of sorts today. I'm going to be honest. And that's just because the Holy Spirit's doing a work. I recognize that, you know, because the enemy, he has no dominion in my life. And the Holy Spirit is just trying to refine me to help me identify my direction now and transform me into such a space that is just amazing, you know. And this time is something that is just for me. It's what I need to do for myself, because I've always done for others, right? So I laughed. I told this particular person, I said, man, I want to be able to have a transforming or a transformation through this whole process. And sure enough, I got listed here, Holy Spirit, you're great. Spiritual behavioral therapy is testing, trusting, but then transforming, because you cannot continue to operate the same way. And if you've been trying to do it the same way, how has that worked for you? I'll give you a minute. If you don't change yourself and you say, I ain't changing for nobody, I'm not trying to move forward, I'm not trying to understand what God wants and wants for me and what he has for me and what he thinks of me, if you're going to continue to stay stuck. So the way you used to do things, if it didn't work for you, it's time to do some new things. And these new things are through your relationship with the Holy Spirit, the relationship with Jesus, the relationship with God, having all of his goodness, mercies, and even his correction and his rebuking and instruction to help us begin to transform. So I found this diagram, and I'm going to just go through it. I was going to put it up, but I didn't have time. So, humor me, okay? There is called what's called a transformation flow. So Christian emotional regulation follows a specific cycle that leads to growth. How many want to grow? Right? So you have a stage. You know, you have the unregulated response. You know, unregulated response means you're listening to that internal screaming. You're walking around and your heart ain't right and your mood is foul, right? And that unregulated response causes issues. So the trigger that caused that unregulated response causes you to react immediately based on a gut feeling. Now, there's a difference between the unction of the Holy Spirit, and that's because you were in God's presence and God's word, and it was about him, not about you. But when it's based on your gut and you feeling some kind of way, you can immediately react in a way that affects everybody. And that trigger, whatever it was that caused that unregulated response, caused you to react that way. Then we have what's called the filter. The filter accepts the feeling as absolute truth. Feelings are fleeting. I know everybody say, I know I felt this and I feel this and I feel this, girl, and I felt that. Well, guess what? Feelings are fleeting. You can feel about anything. You can have emotions on anything. And you can't take it as absolute truth. Huh? I had a feeling that was going to happen. Y'all should have listened to me. Well, your feeling was foul. And no, I should not have listened to you, because you're trying to tell me a lie. But you think it's absolute truth, and it ain't. Another action is the action. The action operates in the flesh. Ooh, that's that reaction. That flesh. It causes yelling, withdrawing, rolling your eyes. That's a behavior. Sucking your teeth. Behavior. Talking short. Given the silent treatment. Yes, that action, it operates in the flesh when you have an unregulated response. And the result that happens is you feel guilty. I mean, golly, I didn't mean to yell at Teeny. I didn't mean to yell at her. It wasn't her fault. She didn't intentionally do anything to me. Darn, I feel guilty. It can cause broken trust, meaning husbands, you look at your wives Or, you know, wives, you look at your husband and go, who am I getting today? Am I getting Dr. Jekyll or am I getting Mr. Hyde? Right? Am I getting the good witch or am I getting the wicked witch? All right. So it can cause broken trust, trust of others and others trusting you. And most importantly, it causes exhaustion. Yes, exhaustion. The action of being exhausted, being worn out, being beat down, toe up. I mean, I can go on and on. And all that happens because of unregulated reactions and responses. Now, when you begin to have a regulated Christian response, it's easier than you think, okay? So the regulated Christian response. Now, a trigger happens, you know, and a trigger could be, my husband cut me off in mid-sentence. So, you know, the unregulated response can go, psh, that punk. No. But the Christian response pauses and acknowledges the feeling. Because, y'all, we can't go on around and act like we don't have them. Right? That's not healthy. You know, you can't ignore if you feel sad. You can't ignore if you're irritated. You cannot ignore if you're annoyed or if you're confused or if you're afraid. Right? But the primary thing is pause. Pause. Why? Selah. Pause and think on that. Take a moment. Think about it. And acknowledge it. Right? But don't let it take over you. Recognize it, but don't allow it to reform you. Okay? So pause and think about that. That's when the trigger happens. So another Christian related response would be the filter. You know, filters help you filter through the scripture. It helps you filter what you're feeling through scripture. Yeah. I mean, and there's no excuse. If you don't know all scriptures by heart, guess what? There's a concordance in the Bible. Look up a topic, boom, boom, boom. There's the scriptures. You address it, right? Or if you have a Bible app on your phone, they have different like 21-day challenges and 7-day challenges. Boom, boom, boom. That'll help you filter through. And it helps you filter the feelings through the scripture. Right? Wow. Wee, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. A Brita filter. One of those pitchers, you know. You are getting tap water from the city and it is nasty. They may say it goes through a treatment plant, but sometimes I wonder, right? Because sometimes that water can taste foul and it doesn't matter. It can taste different according to different locations. I've tasted horrible water at Miami Beach or Myrtle Beach, excuse me. And I've had delicious water in Franklin County, Virginia. So, you know, the filter allows that water, that tainted, that dirty, that unrealistic, that nasty water to go through that Brita filter, and the water on the inside of the pitcher is sweet, clear, clean, and tastes delicious. So when we filter the feeling that we have through filter our feelings, there we go, through a filter of scripture, huh? The scripture is truth. So whatever is not of God, whatever is nasty, whatever is not healthy for me, whatever is dangerous to me, and I filter it through the scripture, That's healthy. That's pure. That's right. That's protection. Okay? So when, you know, something happens or that trigger happens, as I said, in the unregulated reaction, you can begin to operate in the flesh where you push everything aside, right? But when you are responding in a Christian way, you operate in the spirit. And we all know the fruits of the spirit, right? Patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Okay? So we act and operate in the spirit no matter what goes on. Jesus. Whew. I just felt that one too, y'all. I don't know who's out there, but whatever's going on around you, because we know a lot of stuff is going on in the world, but a lot of stuff can go on around you right where you are. You have to begin to say, how am I going to operate in this? Am I going to operate in the flesh and allow whatever's happening, the actions that are happening in the world, tear me down? No. You're going to operate in the spirit. Jesus did it. We can too. Why? Because his spirit is in us. So if you're going through something, y'all, review those fruits of the spirit, okay? So when something happens to trigger and you have a unresolved or the action that ain't right, golly, the response. So the result, as I mentioned, the issue can cause you to feel guilty, be broken, cause issues with trust, and cause exhaustion. But if you act through the Christian's response, the spirit of Christ, whatever situation goes on, whatever emotion's going on, your peace gets restored. Your relationships gets restored and you get strength. So instead of worrying about stuff all the time because of somebody else's actions and you're beat and they're gone on with their lives, if you think about how Christ dealt with things, Christ loved people, yes, but Christ also said, look, you got your free will. You know, go and sin no more. And it was on them. So after that, Christ was peaceful. He took a nap. He did whatever he had to do. He ate. He spent time with people, right? We can do the same thing. We can get our strength back if we respond to certain situations in a Christ-like manner. It's important, y'all, to remember, you know, Jesus, I keep saying he's the coolest man I know. Jesus is cooler than a fan. And he was the most emotionally regulated person to ever live. Man, Jesus could beat down somebody if he wanted to, but he didn't. Yes, he became angry over things, and that was righteous anger because folks were just living in sin and just messing stuff up after he has, you know, said, you don't sell things at my father's house, the temple. So, you know, he felt that deep anger, y'all, when he was at the temple. He felt agonizing pain and sorrow in Gethsemane. Man, I can't imagine if I knew that somebody was going to betray me, then somebody was going to crucify me for everybody else. You know, I don't know how I feel, but because, you know, Jesus loved us so much and God loved us so much that he gave us Jesus, agonizing sorrow over what the state of the world was in Gethsemane. Yeah, he felt it. But did he allow it to take over? No. And then he would have immense joy. I love when he interacts with children. Children are already innocent creatures, but they can bring you joy. And Jesus loved children. And one thing he never did, Jesus never sinned. He never sinned in those emotions. So when he felt deep anger, he didn't walk around offended. He didn't walk around mumbling cuss words under his mouth. He didn't get angry and turn it inward and go get a fifth of liquor and, you know, drink it up and then go off on everybody intoxicated. No, he didn't do that. He didn't sin. You know, agonizing in sorrow. Jesus still knew that he had to do the will of his Father. He had every grounds to wallow in self-pity. He did. You know, his cousin was murdered, beheaded. His father, who was his stepfather, basically, his natural father, he died. I mean, come on. You know, Lazarus. But he was able to bring Lazarus back. So, of course, there was immense joy. But he never sinned, guys. With agonizing sorrow, he never thought about, well, golly, let me just go ahead and kill myself. Suicidal ideation is real. If you're having some, you need to dial the suicide prevention hotline. I just want to throw that out there. 1-800-273-8255. And, you know, be sure you talk to them, right? But I've been so depressed that, especially last year, when I was completely bedbound and not able to do jack for 6.5 weeks, before I actually listened to what God was telling me instead of the enemy, I was so sad, so down, and it was agonizing to the point where I was making plans about how to leave this earth. I had the plans together, y'all. Man. And that's because I let the emotions take over me. I let the feelings that weren't from God take over me, and I dwelt there. So it's so important as Christian women that we regulate the process of becoming more like him. Excuse me. And, you know, during that time, how I became more like him, I got in a state of worshiping, got in a state of recognizing who my Heavenly Father is, got in a state of being in God's presence and listening to the Helper. The Holy Spirit had to pimp slap me to get me to snap out of it. And he used my husband. My husband didn't slap me. I just want to let y'all know that. But he did, like, wash me with the word and, you know, basically made me accountable for what I had to deal with. And I was feeling so much self-pity, I was thinking everybody else was supposed to take care of it. But the bottom line was, I had to be accountable. I had to take care of my feelings. I had to take care of my thoughts and my emotions. And I had to learn about what, or remind myself, what these thoughts and feelings and emotions, how they are filtered through the lens of the Word of God. That filter to make dirty water fresh. So, you know, in 2 Timothy verse 1, I mean, golly, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, all right. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Of a sound mind. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Man. Sorry. You know, I'm just thinking about, you know, how, again, God prepares us for various things. This was in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is where the word breaks it down about how we are in the end days, how people are just acting like straight up fools, how, you know, everything basically that's going on today. But we know that God has prepared us from the beginning. not to give us a spirit of fear. So why should we be afraid going out of our house? You know, why should we feel weak because of quote unquote world governing factors? Because as far as I'm concerned, the only governing factor I have is the kingdom of God. Okay. But many people feel powerless, but the word says you have power, right? He didn't give us a spirit of powerlessness. He gave us love and of sound mind. So we know as we go forward in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he talks about people hating each other and fighting each other and wars and et cetera. And we see that now. It's like, where's the love, people? But God has given us, y'all, love instead of hate and a sound mind. Man. So, as I said in the beginning, when I'm beginning to develop a new me, if you will, because my whole life has changed. Not for the worse, but for the better. But during this process, my mind can be so scattered and all over the place. So in order to keep my mind focused and stayed on him, thank God he loves us so much. He loves me so very much that he gives me a sound mind. Wee doggy. I want you to put your hand on your head, both hands, right here, and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me a sound mind. Now, let me steward it. Because if you don't steward it, you're going to go right back to from whence you came. So we got to thank him, but we got to steward it. Okay. So, you know, it's important that you think of, you know, how can I reset myself? You know, when you reset something, it's to cause it to do something different. When you reset something, it causes you to go back and find what the flaw is, remove it, and improve. Huh? Come on. So when you do a daily reset, you know, it helps you when you're dealing with emotions that may feel overwhelming or you feel overloaded. Anytime there's a certain emotion, y'all, that exposes our vulnerability, Satan is just taking all that bait. He is eating it right on up, and he's getting ready to come on in to tell you all kind of lies about how you're going to deal with that situation. Yep. So we know, again, that feelings are flawed. Feelings aren't always true. Feelings can actually cause the direct lies of Satan to filter through what we think is okay, and we grab onto it and hold it, but it is not okay. So you have to begin maybe to set up a list, and I call this, I tell people, I call it the truth versus the lie. You know, whatever you tell yourself in a negative situation, if you say something negative about yourself, we know that's a lie. So you have to look back in the word and say, okay, Lord, what's your truth? And this is what the truth says, right? Like, for example, I try on some clothes and I just feel ugly. I'm like, ugh, I don't even know why I try. Let me just go ahead and put this stuff back on. Now, that can make me feel sad. But the truth is, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, right? And if he can clothe the birds of the air, then guess what? He can do it for me. If he can feed them, guess what? He can feed me. He didn't feed the birds junk food. They ain't healthy. So guess what? I need to leave that junk food alone and eat healthy. So you gotta sit there and evaluate, steward, right? Balance. Which one is truth? And why am I feeling this? And if the truth counteracts what I'm feeling, I lean toward that. But if the feeling is causing me to think a lie or think impaired about myself, that ain't the truth. That's a lie. So let me go back and reset and go through the Word of God and find out the truth. Huh? It's a simple process. It's a process, but it's beneficial. As you all know, and I've shared, and Pastor Tucker shared, we love Legos. I never thought I'd say that, but I love them. So now I am working on the Freedom Tower, that tower that was replaced after 9/11, right? When I say there's 15 million blue pieces that look like, glass, you can see through them, there's 15 million pieces. Now, there are moments where I might skip a step. And if I do, guess what? It's not going to fit together. Because I skipped a set or a piece and it messed up the outcome, the ultimate result, I had to go back and reset. In order to reset, even though I hated it, I had to do it because it was the right thing for me to do. That was break apart half of that Lego set, all the little pieces, and go back to the baseline. Look at the instructions in the manual. Because see, I wasn't paying attention. I just totally missed it. But when I looked at that manual and began to really sit with it and study it, I found out where my mistake was. And as a result, I was able to reset and go through the process again to the point that my outcome was the outcome that I desired. So I'll be posting on Facebook pretty soon my Freedom Tower that I'm working on. Okay. So, you know, there's things that the Holy Spirit can give you little examples and just little daily things. I mean, the Lego set example just came to me just now. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. And I pray you got something out of it. And that something out of it is you don't always get every process perfect. Right. But if you spend time, acknowledge, oh, I made a mistake, you start over and reset, take your time, looking through the Word of God, staying with the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, you're able to renew yourself daily. You're able to renew your thinking daily. And the outcome is that of what God wants for you. And He will be glorified through you. Christ will be glorified through you. People will notice you're different. And anytime there's an issue or a problem and you have that gentle, quiet spirit, right? That's a gift, but you have to steward and know how to use it. Man, that's a whole nother segment. How to steward your emotions. All right. So I pray that y'all got something out of this. I pray that you are going to step back and think about what I talked about, how when someone's not emotionally regulated, they are all over the place, how it affects everything that is attached to a woman. Do you want to be a better wife? Do you want to be a better mom? Do you want to be a better grandma, aunt, teacher, doctor, sister, cousin? I mean, I can go on. Do you want to be better? And the old way you've been doing things, if it didn't work before, you got to stop doing it. Because you're just repeating a cycle instead of resetting and renewing yourself daily to regulate those emotions and be able to demonstrate and manifest the glory of God right here on earth and impact those that are around you, impact yourself. But you don't have to impact God. You're already doing it for him. But he'll be so proud of you. And if you mess up, he loves you. He ain't going to throw the whole Lego set away. He just going to say, okay, got to take it loose, reset, and renew. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. All right, with that being said, I'm going to pray our way out. Glory to God. Father God, I pray that tonight, Lord God, that we are able to step back and first of all, repent and ask for forgiveness, change our way of thinking, and renew our mind in you, in your word. Reset us, Lord God, so that we're able to acknowledge where we made mistakes, but acknowledge and steward the feelings and emotions that you provided for us. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us these emotions and feelings and not make us numb to everything. We thank you, Lord, we can experience joy and peace and be ecstatic. And Lord, we also know and we thank you for even experiencing anger, because we know, Lord God, when anger is used in a positive way, it can change things. But if anger is not used in a positive way, it can destroy things. So, Lord, help us to be able to step back and look at that, steward it, recognizing through your word what is truth and what is a lie, and how feelings are fleeting and can insinuate and cause the enemy's lies to come in. And if that happens, God, let us always stop, pause, and go back to the word, to your word that you've given us that's life as flesh right now to help us through every trigger that we may face. And I thank you, Lord, for this time I've had with these ladies. And I pray, God, they pass it on to other women in need and or just want a women's fellowship and just want something different to share. I thank you, Lord, that the My Church Virtual Ministries, My Church channel, is able to provide that. And we give you praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you've been blessed by this broadcast or any of our ministries and would like to help us continue to do the work that God has called us to do, you can sow a financial seed by using Cash App, $, My Church Channel, Cash App, $, My Church Channel, or visiting our website at www.lovemychurch.org and click sow a seed. That's www.lovemychurch.org and click sow a seed. All right. Well, God bless you all. I'll see you next month. And I'm excited about sharing what God has given me to share with you. Be blessed and stay tuned for our announcements. Okay, stay tuned for our announcements.
Breaking news. We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming with a special alert. Get ready for the premiere of Reveal TV on the My Church channel, featuring the powerful preaching and teaching ministry of pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. Experience a word that is truly prophetic, anointed, and spirit-filled to change your life. Coming to the My Church channel Sundays at 8 a.m. Experience the dynamic ministry of Reveal TV, coming soon to the My Church channel. Don't miss it.
When we are cultivating an intimacy with God on that level, we are doing more than just receiving mere instruction. We are receiving direction.
You were approved before you ever acted, chosen before you even understood the assignment.
You need to hear this and hear this clearly. You are the most important person in this church.
And if you stay connected, they're going to contaminate your faith. They're going to pull you from the path that I'm trying to take you on.
That scripture tells you exactly how to use the Bible to overcome addiction.
women in the Bible may have been minimized, but there were a lot of powerful women. I'm certain they poured into others.
And that's why we've got to learn to not despise our seasons, because it's the thing that teaches us how to trust God.
Gratitude melts tension. It softens hearts and opens doors for deeper communication.
People always want to make change more difficult than it is, but every change starts with a choice.
At my church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works, and we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.